Proverbs 23 and verse 26. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Our Father, now once again, we come to you, Lord, because we need your help. And we just ask you to do a work in our hearts here tonight. Take the word of God and make it real to each one of us. Help us to see the parts of us that are meant for us and lay aside that which is not. Lord, we thank you for this church, this pastor, and the people here in it that have been so faithful through these many years. I thank you for each one of them. God bless your time as we get into your word one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The heart. The heart of man, what is that anyhow? I find that there's 800 different mentions of the word heart in the Word of God, 800 times. Then there ought to be something that we need to learn about the heart. That just makes sense, doesn't it? So, the heart is the home of the personal life. When I say that, I mean that men are known by the heart they have. You know, they have a generous heart, or there's a number of them in the Word of God here. I'm looking in 1 Kings. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read them. I have them all listed out here. In 1 Kings 3:12, it says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart." So we have a wise and understanding heart. Psalm 24, verse 4 says that he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So you can see from these verses that men, whether we realize or not, we're kind of picked out by what kind of a life we have. Psalm 11 and verse 2 says, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." Yeah. That's like moral excellence, the upright in heart. And then there's Luke 8:15. It says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And then finally, there's Romans 5:2, verse 15, which says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, and their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, meanwhile accusing, or else exercising one another. I read all those verses just for to get our mind at least in gear to the direction that we're going with this message. The first time that the word heart is mentioned in the scriptures is found over in the book of Genesis in chapter 6, and I think you'll recognize it as soon as I start reading. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We recognize that, don't we? And then the amazing thing is that God picks out the remedy for man's problem. In the first verse, it deals with the what the problem is. And the second verse is the first verse in the New Testament. So you have the first verse in the Old Testament, and the first verse in the New Testament says this: "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I'm glad God has a book that he shows his wisdom as he takes us through it. Amazing how the Word of God can, in just two verses, put a finger on men's problems and the answer to that problem, isn't it? This evening, I'd like to challenge you with a verse from the Bible. It's a verse that holds the key to happiness and fulfillment in this life. You know, I think about Nan and I. We've been married a long time. Long time. A really long time. But we've had a happy marriage. It's been a good marriage. And it's all because both of us have, our focus was towards the Lord. And I can say this to those who are sitting out there and they're wondering if your marriage is going to make it through the next year, that if you'll just turn it over to God, he works those kind of things out. Because he's the one that deals with the heart, see. And God is working on our heart here tonight, I believe. Why does God want our heart? Is God any better, any bigger, any more righteous? Or is there anything that if we give him our heart, is he going to be more of anything? Can you think of anything? I mean, no, he's God. He's everything anyway, you know what I mean? But he wants our heart. And here's the reason why. It's the seat of the emotions. It's the seat of our affections and our passions, as like love and joy and grief and enmity and courage and pleasure. And so the seat of our understanding is involved in the process. The seat of the will. So God wants our heart because it involves all these aspects of our life. He wants to be involved in all of our life. You know, we talk about revival, and the truth of the matter is, if we just keep doing the same thing we did last year, we're not going to have a revival, are we? Isn't it true? Isn't there going to have to be a change somewhere? There has to be a change. For the better, in order for God to do something in our heart. God wants to restore the innocence and the purity that we lost by the curse. Now, there's no way that he can restore that Adam has, and Eve, when they were first created, that would be impossible. But the one thing that God can do is he can forgive us, and he can cleanse us. He can purify our heart in that aspect and give us a new life and a new heart. He wants to build that new heart and make it something special. We can have access to God, you know, and enjoy his fellowship. Number two, he's the only hope for this deceitful heart, the only hope that we have. I think about my own life, and I don't like to think about it a whole lot. And when I say my own life, I'm talking about prior years to my being saved and living for the Lord. And there's just a lot of stuff in there. I'm glad that God forgave me for that stuff. I'm glad that he cleansed me from that stuff. I'm glad that he has done a work in my heart and given me a new heart, a transformed heart. He's the only hope for our deceitful heart. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We ought to thank God for that verse. And then in Romans chapter 12, what is that? So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. He wants to give us a new heart. He's the only hope, but also the blessing of a pure heart. We shall see God. Isn't that, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, but I've, of course, I spend When I come up here in the mountains, I usually spend a couple of days just getting out in the woods and walking around and acting like I'm still hunting. But I'm not, you know, I'm not hunting. I'm just walking around and acting like it. But there's just something about I want a closer walk with God, don't you? I want to be, just like the pastor said, I want to know him. Like the Apostle Paul, he wanted to know him. He didn't want to just know him. He wanted to know him. And that's something that each of us have the opportunity for. Because when we yield our will to his, when we yield ourselves to him, yield our flesh to him, yield our whatever, if we give everything to him, then he can make the change in our life that draws us to a closer walk with him. God opens our spiritual eyes. And when he opens our spiritual eyes, we're able to see the Lord Jesus. We're able to see him in the scriptures. We're able to see the providence of God. You know, one of the things that's been a blessing through the years is seeing how God is working in my life in the little things that I take for granted. Now, this may be silly, but I remember one time I ran over my hose, water hose, out in the yard with my lawnmower. And when I hit it, I knew what it was. And when I hit it, I thought, well, I probably needed a new one anyhow, you know. So I stopped the mower and got underneath of it, you know, and untangled some of the hose, you know, and finally got it out. And when I got it out, it wasn't broke at all. It was perfectly whole. It was all right. In other words, God said, well, all right, you're going to run over this hose, but I'll just make sure it doesn't hurt it, you know. I think God does little things like that to help us out, to be a blessing to his people. You know, the nation of Israel, back in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments up on Sinai, he also gave them the plans for the tabernacle. Now, we don't hear a whole lot about the teaching on the tabernacle. I wish your pastor would teach it sometime and enlighten you to all that. And because it's a tremendous study, and I have some outlines for you. They're already made up for this.
For sale.
You know, screen. I mean, yeah, it's already done. I'll talk to you about it later. But the reason that God did that was because he wanted to dwell with his people. And that's his desire today, you know. This heart that we have, when we trust Christ as our Savior and the Lord Jesus, he just comes right in there and makes himself at home in our heart. Isn't that great? God is a very touching God. He loves his people. He wants to, you know, be with them. And whenever you get the truth of his presence in your life, it makes a difference in how you act and where you go and the people you know, and it just makes all kind of differences in your life. So, Exodus 25 and verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And then in verse 29 of First Chronicles, it says in chapter 29, verse 9, Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because of because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. The thing about whenever you give yourself voluntarily to God, you can't lose, because it brings great joy in your life. What is it that you really want out of life anyway? What is it that it means, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to be happy, don't you? I want to have joy in my heart, I want to know God, you know. But I just want this thing of joy to be a part of my life. And the only way to have that for the Christian is to give God the rightful place in your heart, and that is just to give him your heart. When he says, give me your heart, just say, Lord. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, it's just a matter of just finding a place at this old-fashioned altar, or you can do it right back there. But it's just a matter of just saying, Lord, you know, I've always tried to serve you. I've always, you know, tried to live up to what the Bible teaches about living for God. But Lord, I want to know you in a very intimate and a personal way. And if we approach this meeting with that attitude, with the idea that we want to take that next step in our spiritual life, so that God can bless us and we can have greater joy. And so that we can enjoy every service instead of feeling convicted every time the preacher preaches on your sin. Okay. Psalm 51 and verse 10, a familiar psalm, says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, he says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me ask you a question. How's your heart? Have you willingly given your heart to God? I'm not talking about when you got saved. I'm talking about after you got saved and you saw yourself sort of stagnating, and you just sort of have got to the place where you're not where you ought to be spiritually. You know it, and God knows it, and you know that it's time to take that next step. I hope you will. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, it says this: for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You all know that as a verse that deals with salvation, which it does. Of course, it mentions it in the verse. But it also deals with the heart. And that's what we're talking about here tonight. So I challenge you tonight to, just as that scripture says there in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we'll show this chalk drawing. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'll take these feeble words and just simply apply them to the hearts of those who need them. Lord, we need revival. There's no doubt about that. And so we're asking you, Lord, wilt thou not revive thy people, that thy people may rejoice in thee.